All right, Ephesians, the second chapter. Today we're going to talk about being made alive in Christ. Can you think of anything more amazing and exciting than a resurrection from the dead? Can you imagine what it would be like to actually witness someone who was being resurrected from the dead? So picture for just a moment being at the tomb of Lazarus. You know, John chapter 11, Jesus comes and he's standing before that tomb and he says, "Roll away the stone." And his sister kind of says, whoa, Lord, by now he stinks. I mean, he's been in the grave for 4 days. And so decay has begun to set in on that body. And Jesus says, "Lazarus, come forth." And this man who had been in the tomb, dead, rotting for 4 days, comes to the entrance of the tomb alive. And so you can just imagine as his loved ones were shedding tears, as there were people shouting praises to God. What an amazing event that we just witnessed. Could there be anything more thrilling and exciting than witnessing a resurrection? Imagine going to a funeral, and while you're there, someone stands before your loved one and says, "Arise." And they get out of the casket and start walking around. That is what happened when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And so the Apostle Paul says that conversion to Christ is like a resurrection from the dead. And so what we have in Ephesians 2 is a before and an after passage. Paul talks about what they were before and what they are now in Jesus Christ. And so Paul likens our state to conversion to death. He says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins." And then he pictures conversion itself as a resurrection, as he says in verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So conversion, being born again, becoming a child of God, is compared to a resurrection of the dead. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, but God made you alive and raised you up in Jesus Christ. And so he pictures conversion to a resurrection. And here's the thing, those of you who are not Christians, the Bible says you are dead in your trespasses and sins. And unless you are made alive in Jesus Christ, you will be eternally separated from God. Listen to Paul in 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 and 9. This is in reference to Jesus coming. He's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. "These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." And so when Jesus comes back, those who've not obeyed the gospel, who are dead in their trespasses and sins, who've never been resurrected by the new birth, you will experience eternal destruction, separation from the presence of God forever and ever. But there is good news, and the good news is God offers to resurrect you in Jesus Christ just like he resurrected the Ephesian believers. So there's good news. So how does God make the dead man in sin alive? How does he do that? Well, first, God raises us up from the dead by changing our condition. You see, before conversion, one is lost or dead in sin. And so formerly the Ephesians were dead in sin, but at their conversion to Christ, they were saved by grace through faith, Paul says in verses 8 and 9. And so what was their condition? Well, Paul says they were dead. What does he mean, dead? He means that they were separated from God. That's what he means. James helps us out here. James says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So death is separation. When your spirit leaves the body, there's death. That's physical death. Spiritual death is when we are separated from God. And Isaiah helps us out in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2 when he says, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And so sin separates us from God. Man who's been separated from God by sin is dead, the Bible says. That's what it means to be dead in your trespasses and sins. Secondly, Paul points out they were disobedient. Not only were they dead, they were disobedient. He points out in verse 2, he says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit that now works, notice, in the sons of disobedience. And so Paul says they were dead, they were disobedient, they were following the ways of the world. They were following the culture of their day. They were being led about by the prince, the power of the air, the devil. And they were doing the devil's bidding. And therefore, Paul says, they were disobedient. But more than that, Paul says, they were doomed. They were doomed. Notice verse 3. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, here it is, children of wrath, just as the others. And so they were children of wrath. In other words, they were doomed because they were facing the wrath and fury of a just God against sin. And so the judgment of God is a sure thing. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And so God's wrath is coming upon all sin and all sinners one day. And so if you're in your sin, you're dead, you're disobedient, and you're doomed because you don't have hope in Jesus Christ. But they were made alive in Christ. That's what Paul points out. God gave them a new condition. Notice that they moved from death to life. That is what is meant by resurrection. They went from a lost condition to a saved condition. And so Paul changed their condition. They were dead, they were disobedient, they were doomed, and then God saved them. Now they're made alive. And Paul helps us out here because in talking to the Colossians, he also talks how they were dead and God made them alive. Notice here in Colossians 2:13. He says, this is concerning the Colossians, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh has made you alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. How does God change your condition? He changes your condition when he takes away your trespasses, when he forgives your trespasses. A person who has been forgiven of their trespasses is said to be made alive. They were dead, they were forgiven, and so they were made alive. They went from death to life. And so God, who is rich in mercy, made them alive together with Christ. Verse 5, Paul says, even when we were dead in the trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved. That is good news. And so God changes our condition by forgiving us of our sins. And we have a picture of this in the Old Testament. When you look in Leviticus 16, you read about the Day of Atonement. In the Day of Atonement, there were two goats that were chosen. One was to be a sin offering, and the second was the scapegoat. The sin offering goat, it would be killed. Its blood would be taken by the high priest. He would go through the holy place into the most holy place. And there he would sprinkle the blood of that goat on the mercy seat. It's the place where God said he would meet Israel once every year. And the high priest would atone for the sins of the nation. After he made atonement, he would come outside. He would then lay his hands on the second goat, confessing the sins of Israel, and in a sense, transferring all of the sins of that nation to that goat. And then one was chosen to take that goat, lead that goat into the wilderness, and it was released. So it is the symbol of God sending away their sin. And that's what God does for us in Christ. He made atonement through the death of Christ on the cross. And on the cross, God transferred all of our sins to Jesus. And God punished Jesus in our place so that we would not have to be punished. And so by our sins being transferred to Jesus, our sins were taken away when we came to faith in Christ. When we obeyed the gospel, our sins were taken away. That's why when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, he looked at Jesus and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And so Jesus was God's sacrificial lamb who takes away our sin. So how does God take away our sins? Well, that's important. So how do we go from this lost condition to a saved condition? How do we go from being dead to being made alive? That's important. And so we find out how to do that when we read the New Testament. The first thing we have to do is we have to believe the gospel, the good news that Christ died for our sins. And so Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, I made known to you the gospel, which I preached to you, by which you are saved, if you keep in memory the things I preached unto you, lest you believed in vain. For I received how that Christ died for our sins, he was buried and raised from the dead 3 days later. So what is the gospel? The gospel, in a nutshell, is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Why is that good news? Because Jesus died for your sins. He made atonement for your sins. And so by doing that, you can be rescued from your sins. You don't have to die in your sins. You can be made alive in Jesus Christ by believing in the gospel of Christ. And so faith is how the Bible says we're saved. By grace are you saved through faith. Grace was the goodness of God in punishing Jesus in our place, right? That's good news because we don't have to be punished. He took the punishment. That's why that's good news. And then he rose from the dead. And so that's a promise that we have that when we die, we will rise in resurrection. How do we know? We know because Jesus rose. Because there's an empty tomb over there in Israel. That's how we know. And so that is good news. It's wonderful news. But your faith, if it's real, if it's genuine, James says faith without works is dead. So if faith is real, it will manifest itself. And it manifests itself by repenting of our sins. We know in Acts 17:30 that Paul said that God commands all men everywhere to repent. And by the way, when Jesus gave the Great Commission in Luke, he says to the apostles, you are to go and you are to preach repentance for the remission of sins to all nations, beginning with Israel. So they were to go and preach repentance for the remission of sins. Not a lot of people do that. They preach baptism for the remission of sins, or they, you know, preach belief for the remission of sins, but they don't preach repentance for the baptism or for the remission of sins. You got to preach repentance. In fact, on the day of Pentecost, notice when Peter was asked, what must we do by the crowd? Peter says, repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. He didn't say be baptized for remission of sins. He says, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Baptism minus repentance is nothing. Baptism can't save you if you don't repent. If you don't repent, baptism is meaningless. Paul says that God commands all men everywhere to repent. Luke 13:3, Luke 13:5 says, unless you repent, this is Jesus, you will perish. So you can't go to heaven without repentance. You can't be saved without repentance. If all you did was get baptized, then you need to get saved, because that's not nearly enough. You have to believe in the gospel, first of all, and then you have to repent. But then third, you need to confess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so it's important that we confess our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That we believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that He was buried and that He was resurrected from the grave. And that we confess Him as our Lord and our Savior. And then lastly, we need to be baptized. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And there are many other verses. Believe and be baptized, and you will be saved. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. And so God changes your condition when you obey the gospel. And so when you obey the gospel, God changes your condition. You go from lost to saved, from dead to life. That's how God makes you alive in Jesus Christ. But secondly, God raises us from the dead by changing our position. And so at conversion, one is translated from the sphere of death, and he is placed into the body of Christ, which is the sphere of life. And this is important, because before conversion, the Ephesians were outside of Christ. And at their conversion, they were seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so the Bible says our location is in Christ. Last week, Mike, when he was talking in his Bible class, he talked about that we're in Christ. And we looked at those two words, that prepositional phrase, in Christ. That's the place you want to be. If you're in Christ, that's where you're located. You are in Christ Jesus. And that's an amazing place to be. And so the Ephesians, Paul says, they were placed in Christ where they had all spiritual blessings and lives. God's plan to save man predated the world. And that plan was God would save every person who is in Christ Jesus. No one outside of Christ would be saved. Only those in Christ would be saved. And so if you're going to be saved, you need to be in Christ. Paul talks about in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, when you obey the gospel, you're included in Christ. Now there's an old teaching chart that maybe you all saw, some of you older members, many, many years ago, how there was a circle, and in the circle it had the prepositional phrase, in Christ. And you might be familiar with that. Here's a picture of one I put on my PowerPoint. I just drew it. But notice, in Christ. In Christ is where all spiritual blessings are. To be in Christ is to be saved. To be outside of Christ is to be dead in your sin. It is to be dead in your trespasses and sin. Nobody on the outside can be saved. Because God said He's only going to save those who are in Christ Jesus. But how do you get into Christ Jesus? Well, Paul says in Galatians 3:27, you're baptized into Christ Jesus. And so when you're baptized into Christ, you are in the body of Christ. You are in Christ where there's all spiritual blessings. What are those? Well, they're redemption. They're the forgiveness of sins. They are life. They are grace. They are the gift of the Holy Spirit. All of those and many, many more are yours if you are in Christ Jesus. But if you're on the outside, you don't have any of those. And so God makes us alive by changing our position. We go from being outside of Christ to being placed in Jesus Christ. So if you're on the outside of Christ, you want to get in Christ Jesus, because that's where life and all spiritual blessings resides. And then third, God raises us from the dead by changing our ambition. At conversion, you have new aspiration, new goals, new ambitions. Before conversion, the Ephesians were living according to the lust of the flesh. They were controlled by the devil, the prince, the power of the air. But following conversion, they were driven by a whole new devotion in life. You see, after conversion, you no longer desire the former things of your former life. That's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. That's where conversion takes place. That's the new birth. And so when you are converted, you're a new creation, and you have new desires and new goals and new affections. You desire the things of God. You seek the things above, not the things of the earth anymore. You no longer desire that. That's not a part of your fleshly appetite anymore. You desire new things because God has created you to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and in the book we're studying, there's a great chapter on this particular verse where he goes into great detail on this. But we're God's workmanship, Paul says. Those who've been resurrected, those who've gone from death to life, those who've gone from outside of Christ to being in Christ. You are a new creation. You are God's workmanship. You're God's handiwork. And he's created in you in Christ Jesus. Notice, four good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. A application you can make is, you know, a caterpillar has one kind of appetite. It eats leaves, leaves of all sorts of plants, right? All the vegetable plants that you love, the caterpillars will eat it up if you allow them to. But after that caterpillar goes into the cocoon and emerges a new creature, a butterfly, it has new desires. It no longer eats leaves, but now it licks the nectar in the flowers. And so it has a new appetite, a new diet. And that's what Paul was saying is true of us in Jesus Christ. When we're converted, when we go from death to life, we have a new appetite. We don't desire the things of the world anymore. We don't desire the things of the flesh. We no longer want to follow the devil. We seek the things of God. We seek the things above. We seek to do the things that please God. And God has created for us all kinds of good works that he wants us to walk in them. Well, where do we find them? Well, we find them in the pages of the New Testament. As you read the New Testament, you'll find all these good works that God wants you to pursue in your life. And you should desire to pursue those things and want to pursue those things because you're born again. You're a new creature in Jesus Christ. And so we've observed today that God makes us alive in Christ by changing our condition through forgiveness, by changing our position by putting us into Christ, and third, by changing our ambition and desires and goals by giving us a new devotion, and that is to please God, to do the things that he desires that we do. And so God desires to make you alive in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, you're dead. That's what Paul says. Paul stated, you are dead, you're disobedient, and you're doomed if you stay there. But you don't have to stay there because God wants to resurrect you in Jesus Christ. Paul just went through great detail and outlined how you can be born again, how you can experience new life. And so I hope and pray that if you're not in Christ and you're hearing this sermon, I hope you will come forward today and express your desire to be included in Christ, because God would love to include you in Christ. He planned to include you in Christ before the foundation of the world. But the Bible says we're saved by grace through faith. So it takes our faith to believe what God has done in Jesus Christ. And your faith has to cause you to respond. And so this morning we're going to sing a song. And while we sing this song, you have the opportunity to think about where you are and your relationship with God. If you're not in Christ, won't you come to him today as we sing?